Let's get in the Word of God. Let's spend a few moments in the Word of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. All right, go back with me, please, to Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. It says, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." He said there, "And you shall be unto me." I want you to pay attention to this one. I'm not preaching about it today, but I touched a little bit on Wednesday on this. And by the grace of God, over the next couple of weeks or so, I'm going to touch a little bit more, because there is teaching missing, lacking, insufficient in the body of Christ on the priestly ministry of every believer. There's just very little about it. It is one of the biggest, revelations in the Word of God. It is one of the most amazing products of the work of redemption that Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary to make believers kings and priests. And even our kingship, we don't talk about enough, but that I think there's a lot more revelation about, more discussion about. But the priestly ministry of the believer, you will hardly find a message on it. The priestly ministry. And God said here, "I'll bore you on eagle's wings to bring you to myself." And he says in verse 6, "You will be unto me a kingdom of priests." You will be unto me a kingdom of priests. Part of your calling and mine in this world, in our generation, is to be a kingdom of priests unto our God. To stand in our priestly calling. It is also one of the reasons why the ministry of prayer is really shallow. There's very, very shallow understanding regarding the ministry of prayer in the body of Christ generally, and even those that we believe, especially in the United States, even though those that we think and believe have a strong prayer ministry or this or that, a lot of times, really, to be quite honest with you, lack a few fundamental requisite understanding and knowledge where the ministry of prayer is concerned. I know that we've been quickened, and the Lord's quickened me very strongly. I know that in 2021, we're going to devote a lot to our ministry of prayer. We're going to talk to you a little bit more about this in the future as we go. There are prayer rallies, night prayer rallies that we're going to bring back. We're going to take that mandate to go back and teach God's people about prayer. But the ministry of prayer is so strongly and directly connected to our priestly ministry, the ministry of the priest. He said here, "You will be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." You will be unto me a kingdom of priests. Because God is always looking to eradicate corruption on the earth. And the only way corruption is erased on the earth in the domain of God's people is through redemption. is through redemption. The people who stand as instruments to partner with God in erasing the curse of the corruption on the earth and unleashing the blessing of redemption are priests. Only priests are empowered to do this. Only priests. And those who stand with knowledge and understanding in their ministry of priesthood, those who know how to take their place, he said, you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. Somebody say with me, we are unto him a kingdom of priests. Say more personally, say, I am a priest unto God. Say very strongly, say, I'm a priest in my domain. As far as my family is concerned, as far as my generations are concerned, as far as my territory is concerned, I am a priest unto God. I am a priest unto God. Adam didn't lose it because he failed to function as a king. No, he did function as a king in the Garden of Eden. He functioned very strongly as a king. He called those animals and said, you come, you are dog. Exercise authority there. You are dog. From now on, we call you dog. He was taking dominion. He was exercising his kingly authority. And the Bible says, whatsoever he called them, that's what they were. God agreed with him. He exercises dominion. But he failed to stand in the position of a priest over that garden. That's where he failed. That's where he failed. Because God always needs someone to stand in the gap. The future of your family, the future of your generation, the future of people that are closely aligned with you hinges very strongly on your priestly ministry. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So let's learn more about that. Let's study more about that as we go. Amen. But today, for the purpose of this service, my real focus is to charge you to be strong in the Lord, even in the turbulence. Amen. To be strong in the Lord, even in the turbulence. So if you want a title for this, I'm still talking about this flight of destiny, this purpose, this everything, but be strong in the Lord, even in the turbulence. Think about it. Every flight, most flights, especially flights, depending on when those flights, when they are scheduled, a lot of these flights, you get started, depending on what the purpose of the flight is, there's a lot of excitement. And you buy your ticket, you schedule the flight, you have a purpose. You're going somewhere. You're going to accomplish something. You're going to achieve something. And as you get ready to get on your flight, there's an excitement because you are now taking steps to go someplace, to do something, to fulfill a purpose. It's excitement. You're going on a flight. And when you get on a flight of destiny with God, there's that excitement. It is very exciting right now. I mean, you come through this Daniel fast, and boy, you're just like David. You feel like you can run through a troop. You feel like you can leap over walls. I mean, it's just so exciting. Can't you feel it? Can you feel it? Yes. It's just so exciting. It's not just because we missed a few meals in the month of January. We skipped a few meals. Actually, it doesn't even feel like we missed that many meals, to be quite honest, you know. It's not just because we said to ourselves we're fasting. No. It's because we actually encountered God. I hope you did. Yes. I hope you did. Amen. And I can't remember in a long time. I know every year the Lord visits with us, but this particular one was just something. I mean, most services, to be quite honest, as I ministered most of the messages on Sundays, To be quite honest, I came to a lot of those services without any note. Just said to the Lord, you know, I mean, he said to me clearly before the fast started, I don't want you teaching in January. I want you just preaching and prophesying. And so then, you know, there was no notes. I mean, there were notes like knowledge of things that the Lord, but there was no structure and A, B, C, D, E, like, you know. And so there was just a leaning on the Lord. And it's amazing to me, as we get started, each service, each of those messages, every one of those messages are supernaturally given. As we get started, I just, as a priest, I'm following him like a barefooted priest, just trying to follow, where is he going now? Sometimes I'm stalling, trying to figure out, where are we going now? And then here comes the light. This is where we're going. This is where we're going. Such supernatural encounters in the Word of God. And some of those services, I get out of it and have to sit down and take the Word of the Lord in myself. Because I don't want to be a vessel who was used to minister the Word and I missed it myself. I have to sit down and take it in myself. Such supernatural encounters. So it's very exciting. You can't come out from things like that and not feel. It's like when the children of Israel, the moment they found out they were being let go from Egypt, can you imagine how excited they were? Woo! And, you know, in obeying the word of the Lord and in enjoying the provision that the Lord made for them when he said, you will borrow of your neighbors. Told the women, and the last thing you want to tell women is to go borrow silver and gold. Say, borrow of your neighbor silver and gold. Man, oh man. I mean, here comes the anointing flowing. Boy, oh boy. I mean, and they went and they got all this gold and silver from all the Egyptians. And in the mind of the Egyptians, they think we are borrowing you. But in the mind of God, this is for forever. This is forever. Some of that gold they used to build the temple. Some of that gold they used in the service of the kingdom of God as they went. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He said to them, you will not go empty. So as they left in excitement, can you imagine the excitement? So every flight, excitement. And you take off and it's, woo, it's glory. Get to the clouds, the heights. This, you just look down, you can just see everything looks tiny to you. Everything looks small. Have you been there in the air? You look down through the window. I don't know about you. Usually when I go on those flights, I like the window seat. Some people like aisle. I don't do aisle. Window seat. Because I want to see. Same thing when I drive. I do a lot of, you know, long distance driving. For me, it's one of the most beautiful things about it is being able to see. I love seeing the handiwork of God. From a vantage point. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember we've traveled from wherever to the West Coast, to California, to through Florida, Texas, California, and Nevada, and I mean driving and just beholding the works of the Lord. Amen. I remember one time we got to what is that popular place in Arizona again? I keep Grand Canyon. And sometimes you pull up to the side. Thank you. Sometimes you pull up so close to the edge of those kind. You just, you know, it's just amazing. It's just the sight of the work and the creation of God. So it's exciting when you get up there and everything looks small to you. Before you took off, those things that look big, these high-rise buildings, these great buildings, you look from up there and you look down, they look like tiny little things, like this Lego. Have you noticed? They look like these Lego things. It's like you are building. Like when you're up there, you almost feel like you can touch and build. Why? Because you are flying high. The giants suddenly feel like little ants to you. Like, who are you? This Lego. Lego. This mountain suddenly feel like planes. Like mountains that you'll be looking up like, You know, suddenly you're looking and they're like tiny little molehills. Going on a flight can do that to you. Because of the vantage point that you have. But a lot of times, no sooner than you get comfortable enjoying the sight and you get through the clouds, and suddenly sometimes turbulence. Sometimes turbulence. And let me say this to you. There will be turbulence. As exciting as we all feel, this experience makes us feel, there will be turbulence. There will be turbulence. Even before they took off from Egypt, after the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, go speak to Pharaoh and tell him, thus said the, let my people go, let my people go. And, you know, finally, after Moses got all his questions answered, gathered all the elders of the tribe of Israel, now they all go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And, they, you know, they're excited. And the next thing is turbulence. Is no, no, no. I mean, Pharaoh said no 13 times. Even though God said, let my people go. 13 times. 13. It was by a major shaking that he finally let them go. And when he was allowing them to go, and they were excited, we're going finally, woo, we're going with all the silver, all the gold, their children, their flocks, and woo-hoo-hoo. Suddenly, they approach this Red Sea, they look behind them, here is the chariot of Pharaoh. Behind them, closing in on them. Right ahead of them here is the Red Sea. Think about it. I mean, you talk about turbulence. There was turbulence. There will be turbulence. So it is important that you fasten your seatbelt and let your anchor hold strong. Amen. Remember, this is why the mother eagle prepares the baby eagle. Remember, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, as an eagle stirs up her nest, flutters over her young, spreads abroad her wings, takes them, bears them on her wings, he made them ride on the high places of the earth. Remember, part of the reason why the mother eagle takes all of that time preparing the baby eagle is because there will be turbulence. And you need to know how to navigate and how to overcome. You need to know how to navigate and how to overcome. So many people don't get through the turbulence. So many people don't survive the turbulence. So many people don't come out on the other side of the turbulence. A lot of planes have been struck down through the turbulence. A lot of lives have been destroyed by the turbulence. But that is not the plan of God for you. The reason why you have been prepared, the Lord took extra time to prepare you, to get you ready, to fill you with substance, and fill you with his promises, and fill you with his word, and get you ready, is so that when you get through the turbulence, the turbulence does not destroy you. It's so that you're guaranteed deliverance out of that turbulence actually is manifest. It's not just theoretical, it is manifest. That you come through it. Remember, you've been prepared by the mother eagle. You can come through anything. You can come through anything. No matter how high, no matter how tall, no matter how low, no matter how wide, no matter how threatening, no matter how fearful you can come through anything.
Amen.
You can come through anything.
Amen.
The turbulence is certain. Adversity is a given. But you can come through anything.
Amen.
Turbulence is certain. Adversity is a given. But you can come through anything. In John chapter 16 and verse 33, in the Amplified Version of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, there is turbulence. In the world, there is turbulence. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And I've conquered it for you. So when you begin to go and things, some things begin to happen that don't line up with what you were expecting. Just remind yourself, that's turbulence. Jesus has overcome the world for you. This turbulence is not supposed to destroy you. You can overcome anything. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Some of you will remember this because some of you were in that service. I was ministering in our last anniversary service in October 2020. And actually, I think it was the day before that Sunday service. I think it was, or maybe it was the day before the Friday. We had Friday and we had Sunday, I think. And out of the blue, I started hearing in my spirit two scriptures in 1 Peter that were not directly connected to one another, but the Holy Spirit brought them together. And I started hearing this scripture in my spirit. Think it not strange. Concerning the fiery trial that will try you, as though something strange happened to you. As 1 Peter chapter 4, I think that's verse 12. And then he linked it to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. I was hearing these two verses of scripture together. I had to go in my Bible because I thought they were written together. I had to go in my Bible and I saw, oh, one of them is 1 Peter 4:12. The other is 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. I thought, seriously? Holy Spirit said, take note. Think it not strange. And I said it in that service. I said, I don't know who this is for, but pay attention and take it. I started hearing it again. I don't know who this is for, but I hope you are taking attention. You're paying attention, and I hope you take it. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is about to try you, as though something strange or unusual happened to you. Be sober. Be diligent. Know that your adversary, the devil, is going around like a roaring devil, a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. No, whom withstand diligently in the faith, or fervently in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren all over the world. Knowing. I started hearing it again. I don't know who it is for, but take it. Think it not strange. There's going to be some turbulence. Think it not strange concerning the afflictions, the trials that will come your way. Don't get into it and say, I wonder why me? I wonder why this is happening. Think it not strange. Why me of everybody? Why me? Think it not strange. Concerning the fiery trials. Remember, know that the same is whom we stand in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions, we stand him. Make up your mind. We're going through this turbulence. We're coming out. We're going through this turbulence. We're coming out. The turbulence is not the time to cry. You know, when you are on those planes and the turbulence hits and your plane hits the turbulence and everything begins to... That is not the time to cry. That is not the time to ask questions. That is the time to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. That is the time to remember, I have been prepared. The mother eagle prepared me for this. Woo-hoo! I have been prepared. I can get through it. When it begins to look like everything is threatened, when it begins to look like things are being shaken, things that used to be stable are being shaken. Remember, the eagle came. He gave you a pre-run, trial run, rehearsal. He shook your nest. When there was no reason for it, he shook your nest. He was training you. He was training you. Helping you know how to navigate and overcome turbulence. Amen. When you hit the turbulence of life, remember that. Amen. You have been prepared. Amen. You have been prepared. Amen. Remember that God is faithful. And he will make a way out.
Amen.
Remember that God is faithful. And he will make a way out. 1 Corinthians and chapter 10, verse 13. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There has no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but he will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape.
Amen.
So that you may be able to bear it. The Amplified Version is so long in verse 30. It's so long. He has so many words. But you know what? You can just put your eyes on some of the expressions there. No trial, he says, regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man. It is not beyond human resistance. It is not beyond human resistance. You can navigate it and you can overcome it.
Amen.
It is not adjusted and adapted, and it is not something that no one has ever adapted to or adjusted around and overcome before. It belongs to the human experience, it says. It belongs to the human experience. He said, but God is faithful. He's faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature. Always remember, God is my father. He loves me. When you hear the turbulence, remember, God is my father and he loves me. Hear me, God is preparing you. Remember, when you hear the turbulence, God is my father and he loves me. God is my father and he loves me. No matter how difficult a season is, no matter how tough a season gets, if you've been prepared and if you remind yourself of the things that you need to be reminded of, then you will successfully navigate the turbulence and you will overcome it. Remember, always remember, God is faithful. In fact, the Bible says in the Hebrews, I can't read it, Hebrews chapter 3, he says, he is our merciful and our faithful high priest. Talking about Jesus. Talking about Jesus. He has been tempted in every way possible. He has dealt with every kind of turbulence without failing. So he is able to succor. The word succor, it means to run to your aid and help you. The Lord will help me. The Lord will help you. I said, the Lord will help you. The turbulence will not overwhelm you. The Lord will help you. The turbulence will not overwhelm you. The Lord will help you. The Lord will carry you as an eagle on his wings. He will carry you and bring you to the high places of the earth. The Lord will carry you. The Lord will carry you. And then he will make a way of escape. He will make a way of escape. There is always a way. When you come to a place and it looks like there is no way, and it looks like you are hemmed in, and it looks like you don't know how to move forward, remember this, there is always a way. The Bible says the Lord, he can make a way in the wilderness. He can make a way in the wilderness. He can make a way where there is no way. He himself, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He can make a way where there is no way. He can make a way. God can open doors. He can create doors that were not there before. And the ones that were there, that were locked, he can open them supernaturally. Like he opened the door for Peter out of the prison. The Bible said the door, the big prison door opened of his own accord. God can make a way. Listen. When you get to points in your life, on your journey, in this coming season, and when it looks like there is no way forward, when it looks like you can't move forward, remember, the Lord can make a way where there is no way. The Lord will make a way where there is no way. So don't look down, look up. Remind yourself. Look up. Don't look down. Remind yourself. Remind yourself. I need you to remind yourself. God is faithful. He will make a way out. God is faithful. He will make a way out. Say that with me three times. God is faithful. He will make a way out. God is faithful. He will make a way out. God is faithful. He will make a way out. Second thing I want you to do when you hit the turbulence, when you run into the turbulence, pay attention to what is going on inside you. Pay closer attention to what is going on inside you. Proverbs 18:14 says, the strong spirit of a man, that's the Amplifier uses the word strong, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in a time of bodily harm and trouble. Proverbs 18:14. The strong spirit of a man. That's what it says in the Amplified. The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Pay attention to what is going on inside you. I really like the way the Message translation puts that scripture. Can you put that up for me? I don't have the time to look at it here. The Message version of that scripture, Proverbs 18:14. Look at what it says. A healthy spirit conquers adversity. But what can you do when the spirit is crushed? When you hit turbulence, don't pay so much attention to the turbulence. Don't pay so much attention to the turbulence. The turbulence came to try to stop you, to try to distract you, and to try to take your attention. Don't give it to him. Don't focus so strongly on the turbulence. Pay closer attention to what is going on inside you. Strengthen your spirit. The strong spirit of a man or woman will sustain them in adversity. The strong spirit. Make sure before you hit the turbulence, your spirit is strong. Make sure when you are going through the turbulence, your spirit is strong. Make sure when you come out of the turbulence, your spirit is strong. You know, some people are able to get through the turbulence, but by the time they come out of the turbulence, they are so crushed. They survive it. They survive it. They don't get overwhelmed by it. They come out. But by the time they come, they are so crushed. They have no more backbone, no more spine. No more sense of bearing, sense of direction. No more confidence, no more assurance. They just know I made it, I'm existing. Don't let that happen.
Amen.
Pay close attention to what is going on inside you. Remember, it tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in us than the turbulence, the adversity that is in the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, he says. And in 1 John 5, 4, he says, they that are born of God, they overcome the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Pay closer attention. Faith is on the inside. A strong spirit is on the inside. Confidence is on the inside. Pay closer attention to what is going on inside you. Look away from what people are saying. Look away from what the forecast is saying.
Yes.
Look away from what the economic the numbers are saying. Look away from the job reports. Look away from all the health facts that you know. Don't focus on what is going on the outside. Pay attention, obviously, to whatever you need to take care of, but focus strongly, because it is your spirit that will sustain you in the time of difficulty. I love that confession line. It's a half of a paragraph, our 2021 confession. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I say hallelujah.
Amen.
It's the second one, second paragraph. This is my breakout year. I have been set up for unprecedented success. There is a purpose for my life. I will live and not die. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Greater is he that is in me than the turbulence, the adversary, the devil, the liar that is in the world. I have the victory that overcomes the world. Oh, if you have the victory that overcomes the world, then you are an overcomer. If you have the victory that overcomes the world, then you are an overcomer.
Amen.
You are not a loser, you are a winner.
Amen.
You are not the one that is being overwhelmed, you are the one that is overwhelming.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I have the victory that overcomes the world. I have the victory that overcomes. Then he ends by saying, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. I'm not running. Give me this mountain. I'm not running. Give me this giant. Remember, if you are truly an overcomer, you don't run away from the adversity. You run towards it. David ran towards the giant. He didn't run away from it. He ran towards Goliath. Give me this mountain. If this mountain is what I need to climb to get to my next high place, my next place of breaking out, my next place of new beginnings, give me this mountain. Because until I get through this mountain, obviously, I'm not getting to my next place. I'm not getting to my next level. So give me this mountain. Pay attention to what is going on within you.
Hallelujah.
Even when you feel emotionally broken by the adversity, we all experience that. Remember, the Lord keeps saying, remember, don't think it's strange. You are not the only one. You are not the first one. You won't be the last one. Emotionally, it can be quite trying for us. Because, you know, we're looking at ourselves, but we're not looking at our spirit. We're looking at our circumstances. And we can feel harassed. The turbulence can make you feel harassed. And if you're not careful, it can break you emotionally. It can strip you naked. if you're not careful. It can make you seem like the things you thought you had, you actually don't have them. It can afflict you emotionally. But the Lord has just one word for you. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Be strong. When Joshua experienced what I've just described to you, broken emotionally, feeling helpless, not knowing how to go forward, what to do next, laying on his face, the Lord came to him and said, get up. Why are you lying down there, Joshua? Why are you crying and rolling on the ground? Get up. Yeah, he said. Joshua said, Lord, don't you realize that Moses is gone? Yeah, the Lord said, Moses is gone, but I'm still here. Amen. Remember, I'm the same God of Moses. Amen. And I'll never leave you or forsake you. Even when your circumstances change, even when the details of your life changes, I'm still here. I never change. I'm still your God. Amen. He said to Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. He says, for unto these people you will divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. I haven't changed my promise. I won't change my plan for you. The turbulence can make you feel like, God, everything's changed. No, everything around you may be different, but God is still the same. Amen. His plan for you is still the same. Amen. His purpose for you is still the same. Amen. He said in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law, to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you, so that you can prosper wherever you go. And this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. You meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written there. Have I not commanded you, verse 9? Be strong. Be strong. Be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong. Be strong. Several years ago, I met this, he's now a veteran, I know. He was a very young soldier in the U.S. Army, just arrived from Iraq. That was right in the throes of the Iraq War. And I've told this story, I'm not sure, maybe it's 5 or 10 years ago, whenever, but I was reminded of this story while I was reading this scripture. And I met this guy. I was flying from Dallas to Cleveland or somewhere, Dallas to somewhere. And where we were sitting at our gate at the airport, everybody was quiet. I don't know what was going on. Everybody was quiet, really. But this guy was just talking, just talking his head off. And everywhere he went to try to start out conversations, you could see everybody was just tired of, please leave me alone. I just want to, you know. But even when he sat by himself, he just kept talking and talking. And I saw him, you know, and kept talking. And I just, you know, of course, minded my own business. Well, guess what? When we got on the flight, guess who was my partner? Was the soldier from Iraq. And I believe he was probably expecting that I would have the same response for him that everybody else had. As, you know, he started the conversation. He started, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. I hoped I would sleep, but once I found out that this guy wanted to talk, I thought, okay, I can sleep another time. I thought I would just be nice. And he started talking about everything he experienced in Iraq, what happened to him, and My heart went out to him. So I said, so he said, and he kept saying, I just want to go back. I said, so why are you here? He said, well, and he started describing this thing. I can't remember all the details now, all the medical details, but there was obviously maybe he broke a leg. There was some rod somewhere, whether it was in his leg or in his back somewhere. And he was telling me about his disability, that they required him to come home for a while and get a few things done. And they were not sure if they would let him go back. He's just frustrated. He just wants to go back. So I asked him, I said, why do you want to go back? He said, because that's where my calling is. He said, I can't remember if the rod was somewhere in his leg. You medical people know this, how this works. You know, there was something, you know, that they had put within one of his limbs or in his back. It was a terrible disability he had. He said, yeah, regardless of that, my calling is out there. And tears came into his eyes. He said, I just want to go back. And the Lord used him to minister to me. Because I figured when tears come into our eyes, it's because we're sorry for ourselves. It's because we've been so broken and so crushed. It's because we feel emotionally barraged. We feel helpless and broken. But when tears came to this guy's eyes, it's because he wanted to go back to the battle. And they were stopping him. And the Lord said to me, that's strength. That is strength. The tears that flow in your humanness. But not because you are weak, but because you are strong. To be strong emotionally. To be strong even when you are physically afflicted. To be strong in your purpose. To be strong in your will. To be strong in your resolve. Even though you are going through turbulence. To be strong and to shed a tear because you know my Redeemer liveth. I was made for this war. I was created for this battle. I was shaped from my mother's womb to take on this destiny. To shed a tear and to know that your arrival at your ultimate destination is going to come because you get through this. That you're going to get through this. You're going to arrive. That everything God said is true. He never lied. He said, I'm going to take you to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. He never lied. Even in the Red Sea, he never lied. Even when Amalek came, he never lied. Even when the giants came, he never lied. He never lied. Until he got them to the land of promise. He never lied. To know, to remember that God will faithfully fulfill every word that he spoke to you. To believe in that. To sell out to that. To be confident to that. That I have a good end. You know your purpose is your legacy. Your purpose is your legacy. To know that you will end well. You will end well. You will end well. You will have a good end. The Bible says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. No matter what you go through from where you are to get to where you are trying to go, God will help you end well. You will arrive at your destination. God is not in abortion. He is not in all of this defeat. He is not in all of this uncompleted projects. God who started a work in you, the Bible says he is faithful to complete it. God will complete his work in your life. God will complete his work in your life. Yes, you may be dealing with symptoms of sickness. Yes, you may be dealing with afflictions and bad news. And there might be situations that are out of your control. But God will fulfill his word in your life. God will carry you on the wings of the eagle. Everything may have changed. The circumstances may be different. The turbulence may seem overwhelming. But God will carry you on eagle's wings. God will carry you on eagle's wings. And you will arrive at your destination. You are gonna get there. You are gonna get there. You are gonna get there. So gird up the loins of your mind and speak the word of God to yourself and declare like Caleb declared, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Let me close. Keep the armor of God on. That's what is going to be most responsible for your strength. Keep the armor of God on. I don't know if you really fully comprehend and understand some of the implications of keeping the armor of God on. The armor of God is the garment that God gives you, different from what you possess in your natural being. The armor of God is what helps you stay high up there when the storms of life are raging. The armor of God is what helps you continue to rule. The armor of God is what helps you continue to walk. The armor of God is what helps you continue to think. The armor of God is what helps you continue to be protected. The armor of God is what helps you continue to fight. Even when the storms of life are raging. The armor of God is what enables you to be another man. Your armor will fail. The armor of God will never fail. Your thoughts will fail. Your abilities will fail. Your walks will fail. But the armor of God will never fail. That's why he said in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, he says. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. He said, take unto you, verse 13, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That means the armor of God will help you stand. Amen. Your own armor will fail, but the armor of God will help you stand. Ah, what is the armor of God then? Stand therefore, he says, having your loins girt about with truth. Keep truth. Keep truth. Truth will hold everything together. Like the belt holds your garments together. Truth. Keep truth. Keep truth. Truth will hold everything together for you. Amen. Truth. Integrity. Will hold everything together for you. All the loose parts, all the disjointed parts. Truth will hold them together like your belt holds your garments. Truth. Hold on to truth. Keep the breastplate of righteousness. It will protect your heart when all of those crazy things are coming at you from the world because of the turbulence. The breastplate of righteousness. Put it on. Keep it on. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not a product of the fall. I'm a product of redemption. He made him to be sin for me who knew no sin, so that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. When God sees me, he doesn't see me. He sees Jesus. He sees the blood of Jesus. He sees God's righteousness. Keep the breastplate of righteousness on. Because that's the only protection your heart is going to have from all of those evil thoughts and evil words that will be coming at you from different places that the enemy will initiate. Words that will say, you know the reason you're going through this turbulence? You're going through this turbulence is because you were a sinner. You were a sinner. You are going through this turbulence because God has forgotten about you. You are going through this turbulence because you remember how you said something 5 years ago? You said this turbulence was coming. Now the turbulence has come. You are reaping the fruit of your harvest. By the way, can I just say to you that all those things you hear when you are going through turbulence that are dragging you down emotionally are not from God? Because remember when Joshua was laying down on his face, crying and bawling, God didn't say, aha. I told you. You remember when Moses was here? I used to tell you that the day was coming. You remember? We got you now, Joshua. You remember? We got you now, Joshua. That's not what the Lord said to Joshua. What did he say to Joshua? Be strong, Joshua. Be strong in the Lord. Be courageous. Did I not tell you that everywhere that the sole of your feet, he's bringing the promises back? Did I not tell you that that's the man is crying on the ground. Did I not tell you everywhere that the sole of your feet will touch, I have given unto you as your inheritance? Did I not tell you that no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, Joshua? Did I not? He's telling that to a man who is lying down on the floor and crying. Did I not tell you that you will divide this land as an inheritance to all the entire nation of Israel? Did I not tell you? Be strong, Joshua. That's righteousness. That's the breastplate of righteousness. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, Joshua. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, Jesus already paid every price for my redemption. In the name of Jesus, I am the head, I'm not the tail. I'm a winner, I'm not a loser. I'm going forward, I'm not going back. In the name of Jesus, I am more than a conqueror. The glory of the latter house will by far surpass the former. In the name of Jesus, I will live, I will not die. I will live to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Keep on that breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remember, everywhere you go, let the gospel go. Everywhere you go, you are an ambassador for Christ. Everywhere you go, you are an ambassador for Christ. You are a mouthpiece for the kingdom of God. Introduce yourself by the gospel. Introduce yourself. Say, I'm a child of God. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died. He rose on the third day for my justification. He's been raised up and he's sitting on the right hand side of the Father. Let the gospel go. Everywhere you go, let the gospel go. Don't be a menace to people. Don't be a menace to people. But let the light of the gospel show. Let the salt of the gospel show. Be good, be kind, be loving, be merciful. Pray for your enemies. Bless them. Bless them. Don't speak an evil word to people that have cursed you. Don't do evil to people that have done evil to you. Do good.
Yes.
Let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It is the gospel of peace. It is not the gospel of hatred. It is not the gospel of violence. It is the gospel of peace. Wherever you go, let the gospel go. Let the gospel go. I represent Jesus here. Hallelujah. I represent Jesus. I'm an open door to the gospel. I'm an open door to the kingdom of God. Oh, I gotta close. We still got stuff to do here in this service. You know I can preach forever when I get like this. Everywhere you go, let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let the gospel open doors for you and let the gospel keep those doors open for you. Remember to announce everywhere you go, I am who I am by the grace of God. It is not because of me. It is because of Jesus. When I shine, it's because of Jesus. When I glow, I'm glowing, it's because of Jesus. When I'm flying, it's because of Jesus. When I'm blessed, it's because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation of the gospel of peace. Everywhere I go with Jesus. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I carry the kingdom of God with me. I'm a priest in the kingdom of God. Take the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith. When everybody is saying it's impossible, say it is possible. All things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible. I believe what God said. This is my year of lifting up. This is my year of breaking out. This is my year of new beginnings. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Carry the shield of faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. Think like Jesus. Think differently. When everybody is saying something, think like Jesus is thinking. Don't think like the world. Don't think like your nephew, like your help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord. Think like Jesus. Think like Jesus. And whatever you think, which is what Jesus is thinking, let it translate to words. Don't kill yourself before you die. Don't say, this sickness is going to take me out. It's going to destroy me. I will never survive this problem. This situation will never change. You are not thinking like Jesus. Jesus will never say that. This situation is changing. This situation is changing. 13 times, Pharaoh said, no, you are not going. God said, let my people, no, 13 times. But guess what happened eventually? He had to let them go. This situation is changing. I got to close. I have other things we need to do in this service. I got to close here. Forgive me for being premature in my closing, but I want to close here. Would you stand to your feet? Let's just thank God for 2021. Thank you, precious Lord. Thank you, precious Lord. Don't forget the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't forget the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Wield that sword. Speak the Word. Speak the Word. Let the Word be close to your heart. Let it be close to your lips. Put on the whole armor of God. Don't forget prayer. Don't forget prayer. That is the platform through which the supernatural is manifest. Remember your priestly ministry. Remember to stand in your priestly ministry. Take on the whole armor of God. Take on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord, even in turbulence. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Would you just say with me, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Thank you, Father, for your holy word. We give you glory. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Would you go ahead and bless the name of the Lord? He deserves the glory. He deserves the glory and the praise. Hallelujah.